On Easter Sunday, our gospel reading is John chapter 20. It is an important story for us to hold in our memory and to remember as part of our worship experience, not only today, but every Sunday as we gather. And so this morning, hear the word of God from John's gospel chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. And so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him." And then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And he bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And then Simon Peter came and followed him, and following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. And then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." And when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" And supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I've not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. If you asked Mary, Jesus' mother, she would tell you, she would remember it through tears. He was dead. If you asked John, he would say it, "He was dead, I saw it with my own eyes. The soldiers broke his legs. They broke the legs of the criminals, and the one who examined Jesus decided it wasn't necessary for Jesus. And the soldier would say, he was dead. I saw the water and the blood come out of his side." If you ask Joseph of Arimathea, he would tell you, "Dead? I took his pathetic body down from the cross. He was dead." Nicodemus, remember Nicodemus who met with him? He helped Joseph with the body. Nicodemus would say, "He was dead. I helped cradle his body. I still have the bloody clothes to prove it. I will never wash those clothes. I will always leave them the way they are." You see, Easter morning makes no sense without understanding that Jesus was dead. He was dead. Where were the disciples? They were hiding in a room somewhere by themselves. Had they forgotten what Jesus had said? Of course they had forgotten. Where was Mary? Somewhere along the Via Dolorosa, following, praying, finally standing beside Mary and John. Where were Mary, the mother of Jesus? Where was John? They were right there at the foot of the cross. This Easter Sunday, we come to an empty tomb with Mary Magdalene and Peter and John. and we look in and we wonder what the story has for us. It's fair for us to say, what's this all about? And we hear what happens and we wonder, what difference does this really make? I mean, really, what is this all about? All of us bring different thoughts and faith and life stories to this moment. And we gather here and worship the Savior who died and was raised from the dead. And if you follow the story of John, you realize that people discover the Easter good news in different ways. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were at the tomb as the Sabbath was beginning. They had followed Jesus from a distance for years, and perhaps they secretly hoped that somehow he was going to be the Messiah that all the Jews had hoped for, had written about. And they were there through all the drama of Jesus' arrest and trial and healing and beating and sentencing, and they saw him drag the cross through the city. And from somewhere, they saw him crucified. And after Jesus died and his body hung on a cross, they wanted to do their part. And so they were able to secure a grave, a borrowed grave. They were able to secure a ladder and tools. And they chose to go to the very cross where Jesus' limp body hung, and they pulled the nails from the wooden cross through his hands and feet, and he fell to the earth, and they caught him. They take his body with a small group of followers, and together they take him to the grave and put his body on a slab, and they cover the body with burial cloths and a cloth around his head. Frustrated faith leads them to the tomb. They had great hopes, and they were never realized. Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb out of grief and love and deep sentiment. She's changed her world because of Jesus. Jesus is the one who took her when others would not take her in. Her life had been headed in a new direction because of Jesus. She saw him die. She saw the greatest friend she ever had in her life tortured and executed like a common criminal. And she comes to the tomb out of love. And she sees the stone roll back and she assumes someone has taken his body somewhere. What a macabre, horrific kind of reality. The celebrity that Jesus was, someone has stolen his body. Why would someone do that? And so she goes to tell Simon, Peter, and John. And what she sees affects them. And so Simon, Peter, and John run to the tomb out of troubled faith and curiosity. They've left family livelihood. They've left loved ones. They've left families to follow Jesus for 3 years. They were convinced that he is the Messiah. Now he is nailed to a cross. And Mary tells them she's seen the Lord, and they don't know what to make of that. They don't know what to make of the witness of this woman. And they go to see for themselves, and when they get to the tomb, they see linen wrappings and head cloth. And I wonder if they remember then what Jesus had told them. Jesus appears first to Mary Magdalene. She thinks he is the caretaker or a gardener, and ask where somebody has taken Jesus. Probably it is the tenderest moment in all of Scripture when he calls her by her name. All her sorrow begins to drain away as she looks into the face of one who changes her life forever. And it's later in the day when Simon, Peter, and John finally come face to face with Jesus in a room with the other disciples. And they see for themselves that their Jesus is their Messiah. And their faith has been confirmed, and Mary's words are true. And all that Jesus has ever taught ring in their hearts and their minds. And they're filled with great hope and great faith and great love and great joy. This morning, as I stand here with you, as I come and join you in worship, I'm aware that Easter means different things to different people. It is true in this room. For some, the resurrection confirms all Jesus has ever said or promised or claimed is true. He has spoken sincerely about life and how to believe and how to care for one another, and it happens as he said it would. It confirms the good news that we're beginning to believe. They go into all the world, putting their lives at risk, in most cases losing their lives, with the conviction that they have seen the Lord. In fact, the very first letter of John reflects that faith of the early church. What we declare to you, what was from the beginning, what we've heard, what we've seen with our own eyes, what we've looked at and touched with our own hands concerning the word of life. That was the testimony of the early church. But for some, the resurrection is an obstacle in making sense of faith. Some of you might even be thinking that, how can a man rise from the dead? I mean, we live in a scientific world. We're people of technology. Surely someone made up this miracle. For these people, Jesus' life ends on a cross. And all this talk about resurrection, well, it's just hocus pocus. I mean, come on. There may be some here who've not gotten to Easter yet. Some who may want to follow Jesus but cannot put together what he's saying. Some may experience Jesus, a lot of promises and teaching, and the meaning is uncertain. Some may experience only Jesus' death when the one they hoped was going to turn everything right is killed. It may seem that hope is gone forever. Sometimes that's a way to read this story. But perhaps they should go with Simon Peter and John and see for themselves what has happened to Jesus. It is our privilege, the privilege of every one of us, to ask questions and challenge believers and wonder about how such a thing can occur and how we modern-day human beings believe all this. Maybe they can pour back through this story, reading it again to catch a glimpse of truth that they might learn from all it suggest it holds as true. Maybe in time they will find Easter right where it's always been. I think it's important that all of us hear and experience the reality of Easter for ourselves. In the past, sometimes it seemed it really didn't matter whether we encountered this business of Easter and took it seriously. It does not matter whether you and I believed or not. Sometimes it seems it did not matter whether you were trying to apply your faith to life or not. Sometimes it seems it did not matter whether any of this makes sense to you at all. But I'm saying now is the time to ask questions and to affirm faith and to hold dearly what Easter holds. You see, the church as we know it is being shaken everywhere. Financially and practically, the church is going through a time of transition. This is not 1958 anymore. And some may love to live in the past and glory in what the church used to be, but I have continued to maintain that our best days are ahead of us, not behind us. And what matters most is the God we believe. What matters most is the one who raised Jesus from the dead. He is still the eternal sovereign God of all that is. And the message of this church, the compassion and love and truth of the church, is more important than ever. We have good news to share. We have a story to tell the world. And unless we've been to the tomb out of grief, like Mary Magdalene did, unless we've been to the tomb out of curiosity, like Simon Peter and John, unless we've been to the tomb with hope, as Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus did, unless we've been to the tomb with our own questions and fear, we cannot make our own way to Easter. Only God can bring Easter into our minds and hearts. For Easter then becomes the moment when you and I discover for ourselves that Jesus is precisely who he claims to be. And so his teaching is more important for us than ever before. His promises more important for us than ever before. His claims on our lives is more important than ever before. So what? It's fair to say we're a bit restless. We want to get on with this day, don't we? So what? Well, the good news of Jesus and its Easter joy and hope, the claim is it can change you and me. Easter joy and hope can change every one of us in ways we cannot imagine, because if God raised Jesus from the dead, your worries and your fears are unfounded. If God raised Jesus from the dead, hope and joy is possible for all of us. If God raised Jesus from the dead, those who struggle with depression may have hope and answered prayer, just as we heard a few minutes ago with those who praise God for God at work in their lives. If God raised Jesus from the dead, we all may turn a corner and truly allow God's grace and love to change us and shape us and form us to be a different kind of people. The good news of this day is the good news of the Church of Jesus Christ. And do you know what that is? The Lord is risen. And the church has always replied to that. The Lord is risen indeed. Can we say it together? The Lord is risen indeed. Amen. Let us pray.